Our in-depth guest today is Portland-based composer, writer, director, and producer Nick T. Devlin. Nick has four musicals to his credit, Princess of the Night, Noel, Noel, Alice Trip in Sixes, and Noel, A Celebration of Christmas. And he's written, scored, directed, and produced a new work, Midnight Rose, a dark, gothic Halloween musical, which premieres on KABU, appropriately enough, 2 days before Halloween, tonight at 11 p.m. Nick describes Midnight Rose as a tale of royal dreams, nefarious power, and evil most foul. And he's here with us in the KABU studios to tell us more about it. Nick T. Devlin, thanks for coming into KABU.
Thanks for having me. I really love KABU. It's a great radio station.
Now, Nick, your first musical, Princess of the Night, was first performed on stage at Portland's Interstate Firehouse Theater. That was back in 2013.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about that production and what the learning curve was like? Before the interview, you mentioned it, there was some disastrous events there.
Yeah, it did not go well. I had never produced a musical before, and so I just jumped in with both feet. I had written all this beautiful music. I had the cast. Everyone was ready to go, and it just fell apart. And
what do you mean fell apart? People forgot lines?
People forgot lines, didn't know where to stand. Songs got left out. It was just a total disaster from
just
one end to the other.
One performance only?
It was two performances. Uh-huh. The second one was better, but not by much. And I'm not very proud of that one. It was bad.
So there was quite a learning curve. I guess that answers my question.
Yes, and I did learn. The next one was much better. In fact, each one I correct mistakes, and they just improve and improve. And this one should be quite well done.
So before we get into the new one, and then even some of the ones before that first disastrous one and the more successful ones now, what attracts you to musical theater, and which composers and shows are inspirations and influences on your own work?
Well, I was a preacher, and I kept having my piano players would quit, and this happens a lot in all churches. They get burned out. And so I was one day said, you know what, I need to learn piano. And that was in the year 2010, and I started taking lessons, and I actually wrote my first musical after 3 years of lessons. And I've only had 5 years.
That's incredible. A lot of the people I know who play piano started as kids. They were forced into it by their parents.
Right. I wish I had been. However, I started quite late in life, and I've done quite well with it.
You must have an innate talent, I would think, for music.
I'm not a very good piano player, but I'm a very good composer. So I'm mediocre when I play, but I can compose like nobody's business.
Do you have some influences there then, famous composers, maybe for the musical theater?
Well, obviously the well-known ones, Rodgers and Hammerstein. You know, I try to listen to musicals and try to pick them apart, how they do things, how they're running, how the storyline goes. One of my favorites is the one with Johnny Depp.
Sweeney Todd.
Thank you.
Stephen Sondheim, yes, one of mine also.
One of my favorite musicals is Sweeney Todd.
Uh-huh.
And I love how the storyline goes and how the music all meshes, and it just works beautifully. And I try to not copy, of course, but try to use that influence to teach me how to do my musicals.
Now let's talk about going back to the more successful musicals. Your second one was Noel, Noel, and that actually debuted here on KABU on Christmas Eve 2014. Was that much of a switch going from live theater to a radio production? I assume you no longer needed a choreographer.
I didn't need a choreographer. It was much easier, and it was cheaper. You don't need props. You don't need costumes. You don't need set. And so it was a much cheaper production as far as cost. However, it went really well. I had learned my lesson from the first musical and the disasters there, and I did not repeat any of those mistakes in the second one. And it's probably on file here. It's a beautiful musical.
Was that pre-recorded then or performed live on the air?
Pre-recorded.
Okay, so mm-hmm. So there you can actually correct any disasters before
right.
before the listeners find out.
Right.
Now, your newest work, which we'll hear later tonight, the radio musical Midnight Rose, it airs at 11 o'clock tonight on KABU. It's described as a tale of royal dreams, nefarious power, and evil most foul. Can you tell us a little bit more about the story of Midnight Rose?
I can. And I described it that way because I wanted it to sound over the top. And it is over the top. Now, this is a musical about a young girl named Sarah Hayne. She longs to be royalty. Her dad raised her as if she was a princess. On her 16th birthday, her dad gives her a tiara. And she decides at that point that she really is royalty, so much so that she even starts speaking with a British accent. Her friends try to tell her that she's not a princess, but she will not listen. And in the end, she does become royal. She becomes the princess of the night, the Midnight Rose. And as evidence of her royalty, wherever she goes at night, the roses bloom all around her. And she also commands the shadows of the night to do her bidding. And so she does become a princess and royalty.
Now, where's the evil most foul come in?
Well, she also dispatches her enemies with Belladonna. And there is a song about Belladonna that's in the show that she sings. And it's a pretty song, gorgeous, but it's about evil. So...
Now, Nick, what's the process been like for you? And it probably changes from musical to musical, but as writer, composer, director, producer, and editor, too, of the radio versions, do you start with the book for the show or the songs?
Usually I start with an idea. I may not have the whole story, but I have an inkling of where the story's going, and I start writing music to fit that story. So I start with the music, and it helps...
It helps the story along. Well, you mentioned Sweeney Todd, which is a perfect blending of story and music. So
right.
It makes sense.
I don't always have the whole story, but the music helps guide me to where I'm going.
So it's kind of organic process. You can't really separate one or the other.
Right.
And then do you cast before everything's done, or you wait till the music and the book is done?
I wait till the entire thing is finished. And then I hold casting sessions. But I also like to work with the same actors over and over. And quite often, these actors have been with me through every single musical. In fact, a couple of them were in the first one that was a disaster. But they realize that I've recognized the mistakes, and they stuck with me, and they're still in all my productions.
And what about the recording then, say for the radio? So you record that at Open Signal.
I recorded this one at Open Signal. In the past, I've recorded them here at KABU, but that didn't work out this time. Instead, we recorded in a sound booth at Open Signal TV station.
Over a period of time with different actors in the room at different times. So you're putting that all together in the editing right
Correct.
Now.
Correct. Right. It's a big job.
Now, we mentioned Midnight Rose is your fifth musical. You've grown quite a bit as a composer and a writer. You've also scored, Nick, 9 films,
right.
including a short film made by KABU's David Kesters, The Impossible Dream, which I looked at before we came in here today. It was shown at the Minnesota Film Festival MN Kino in July 2016. Can you tell us a little bit more about that short film and how it came to be, how David came to make it, but how you came to enter in as the composer and doing the score?
Well, the film festival likes to pair a filmmaker with a composer. And David and I knew each other, and he knew I composed music, and he asked me to be his partner in that. And he created the film, and it's about a guy that eats some cat food, and there's something wrong with the cat food. It sends him on some kind of a trip. And so he gave me this, and I had like 4 months to write the music, and it was interesting. I've never scored a film before that, and I found it quite enjoyable, but also a lot of work because timing is important in
a
film.
Oh, yes, it has to be synchronized perfectly.
Right, and that was fun, difficult, but it was fun.
Are you watching the film then as you're composing the work? And is there some system to kind of sync up the video with the audio while you're actually doing the composing?
I keep a lot of notes.
Uh-huh.
This happens at this second, this happens at that. And I try to make my music hit those spots. And I did really well on my first film. It's in sync pretty well.
And that same film festival, the very next year, you scored another movie, I think also with cats, because it's called Mew Hope, or M-E-W?
Yes.
Instead of new.
Right. And it was kind of a Star Wars take on cats in space having battles.
And, is this David also, David Kessler?
Yes, it is. And it's a great film.
He loves cats.
Well, I do, you too. Know, so do I.
Yeah, me too.
I have one of my own. Yeah, but it was a lot of fun. It was a great film, and I was very happy to be involved in the project and to compose the music for it.
Now, what are the challenges in scoring a film as opposed to writing a musical? We mentioned the audio, of course, has to be synced up perfectly with the video. That's one.
Right. And it also has to fit the mood of the film, but also not take over the film. The music should kind of almost be invisible and yet set the mood. You don't want people going, oh, the music is overpowering what's happening on the screen. So you've got to find a balance in there of music and show and have the music just guide the show along, not take it over.
Do you have any plans for the next musical?
Do you,
can you give us a preview?
With 2019, uh-huh. I have 6 music videos I'm going to do.
Wow.
And in 2020, I have an Easter musical that I'm going to try to perform on stage. It has 27 new songs that I've written for Easter, and some of it is very beautiful music. I'm really looking forward to that, but that's a huge project.
You seem to specialize in holidays. You did Christmas musicals, Halloween. I think you did a Valentine's Day one too, right?
Well,
and now Easter.
Well, to do a show, you got to have some kind of a hook, something
right.
That interests me. And holidays are easy, you know. And in fact, the music videos that I'm going to do 2019, they're all on holidays. And I just finished the writing the Halloween one uh-huh. for 2019, and it's a fun song, and it's going to be a blast.
Well, Nick, how can our listeners find out more about your work, all your work, not just the musicals, but the film scores, and tune into the premiere of Midnight Rose, and if they can't stay up to 11, maybe catch it at a later date?
Well, I know that Open Signal plans to broadcast it as well. They're going to take video that was shot behind the scenes. There's not really a show to watch. It's meant more for you to listen to while you're handing out Halloween candy, not so much sit down and watch. So I'm not sure exactly what time that's going to be shown, mm-hmm. but I would assume, knowing Open Signal, that it will be on Halloween night.
Do you have a webpage? Well, I know you have Facebook and Twitter, so you won't be sending that information out if people
Have a webpage at the moment.
Uh-huh. I mean through Facebook and Twitter, will there be ways people can follow you and find out?
Oh, yes. On Facebook, Nick T. Devlin. And I'm on Twitter, but I really don't tweet.
I noticed that when I researched the
I'm mostly on there because a lot of musicians that I like tweet all the time, and so I'm always seeing what they're putting out. And they put their compositions out there, and I want to hear them.
Well, social media seems to be important, but it's also the bane of a lot of creative artists.
Right.
It's not our favorite part. We've been talking with Nick T. Devlin, Portland-based composer, writer, director, and producer, about his Halloween musical Midnight Rose, which you can hear on KBOO tonight, Monday, October 29th at 11 o'clock. I want to play Nick out with a title tune from the show Midnight Rose, sung by Dylan Graves. Nick, can you set it up a little bit for the listeners, and then we'll give them a taste?
Jack Knight is in love with Sarah, but Sarah is oblivious. She does not care. She's in love with the night. And so Jack's trying to get her attention by singing this song, Midnight Rose, while he's picking roses and giving to her, but she's ignoring the entire song.
But it's still a beautiful song, and
yes.
We'll play it for you now, Midnight Rose. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
Midnight Rose is a nighttime flower that blooms in the dark and gloom, and its scent is intoxicating to all. It's a rose that is far more beautiful than every other rose or flower that blooms underneath starry skies. Midnight Rose is my nighttime princess, and where she goes, all the roses bloom underneath the moon. Midnight Rose is roses bloom in the shadows and under the stars and moon. Beauty that never sees the bright daylight sunshine. No time. It's a rose that grows in shadows, and it is lovelier than any other blossom underneath starry skies. Midnight rose is my nighttime princess, and where she goes, all the roses bloom underneath the moon. Midnight rose is a princess of the night, underneath the stars, beauty in the dark. Midnight rose is the fairest flower that blooms in the pale moonlight. If you find one, just pick it up, hold it all night, real tight. It's a rose that is so enchanted that it brings true love to one who holds it all night. Underneath starry skies, midnight rose is my nighttime princess, and where she goes, all the roses bloom underneath the moon. Midnight rose is a princess of the night.